This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, everyone, the time is 4:48. We've got 21 members present. I am calling this meeting to order. I'm gonna begin with our land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayagano, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayagano are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gayagano dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayagano people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Okay, I am gonna start with any late additions to the agenda. Okay, and then the consent agenda, just as an update, I got like a stream in of President Pollock's like responses this afternoon. I'll have them on the agenda for the next meeting. I didn't wanna just like say them without all that information. So just so you guys know. And then February 24th minutes.
Motion to approve by unanimous consent.
Second, do we have any dissent to that? Awesome, those minutes are approved. I'll pass it over to VP Bonta for open microphone.
Don't think the microphone is needed today, so I'll close open microphone.
Okay, now I will go into any announcements and reports. Any initiatives? Presentations and forums? Okay, and now we'll go into business of the day. And our first thing on the agenda is Office of the Ethics, nominations from Michelle Song and Joanne Kim.
My nominations are not here yet. Is it okay if I text them?
Yep. We can motion to move that to later on the agenda.
Thank you.
Representative Williams?
Yeah, I'm just going to motion to move it to after the resolutions.
Second, I'm just going to say that was by unanimous consent. Do we have any dissent to that? Perfect. Oh, okay, and then perfect. Representative Song is not here, so it'll just be Representative Kim's nomination. Okay, so we have resolution. Oh, I would smell upon a motion to move up resolution 45.
So moved. Motion to move 45 okay. Before 43.
Perfect. Can I have a second to that? Perfect. Do we have any dissent to that? Okay, we are going to start with resolution 45, amendments to election rules for spring 2022. And the sponsors of that resolution can now take the floor.
This works. All right, everybody.
Yes. Point of personal privilege, the camera is not on the Zoom call, and so Representative Overton cannot see what's happening.
Perfect. We can check that. Thanks, Gina.
All good. All right, hi everybody. For those of you I haven't met, I'm Isaac. I'm the new director of elections. And this is resolution 45, presenting amendments to election rules for the spring 2022 cycle. First of all, I just want to note that the major changes this semester to the election rules were due to the omission of the Judicial Codes Council, the JCC, the elimination of that office. So if I want to just direct everybody to Article 3, Section E, Number 8 on reconsideration. I'll give everybody a second to get there.
Yeah. Point of information, would you mind to repeat that?
Yeah, of course. Article 3, Section E, Number 8, reconsideration. All right, apologies. Go back one page to number 6. I'll go with that one first. All right, so the major major changes to the election rules this semester will be in the challenges area. First of all, as I said, the Judicial Codes Counselor is no longer a thing. And item number 1 on my priorities list is to reduce the burden of the Elections Committee in terms of challenges. We don't want to face the same sort of chaos, really, that it was last spring in terms of the challenge process. So my major change to the challenge process is in terms of standards within number 6, item number 1, determining whether, or I guess prior to this, the standard for disqualifying a candidate was whether these violations could be substantiated due to preponderance of evidence, and whether they, due to preponderance of evidence, constituted a material advantage in the race. I wanted to change that to beyond a reasonable doubt, just to emphasize that challenges should be a form of last resort, because frankly, there were a lot of challenges that I believe shouldn't have ended up in front of the Elections Committee last spring. And in return, really, I added a section in number 2, a sentence that the Elections Committee reserves the right to impose lesser sanctions if it sees fit. This could, you know, include but not be limited to restrictions on campaigning for a particular period of time, say 24 hours, or again, whatever the Elections Committee sees fit to impose. And then if you go down to number 8, reconsideration. Since the JCC is no longer a thing, in consultation with Patrick, the Office of Assemblies, we've determined that that SA elections are a student process and should remain within the student body. So we've determined that the Elections Committee should be the final arbiter in terms of challenges. Of course, procedurally, if a candidate feels the need to appeal the decision, they could appeal on procedural grounds to the Elections Committee. But again, this is a student process and it should remain within the students. I guess those are the major changes this year to the election rules. Does anybody have any questions?
Representative Lampert.
It's not necessarily about this proposal, but could you give a breakdown of the timeline of elections for the semester?
Oh, yes, apologies. The Elections Committee approved the calendar a couple Sundays ago on February 20th. The elections are slated to be announced next Monday, March 7th. Information sessions will be that Wednesday and Thursday, 2 weeks subsequently to gather petitions until March 23rd. The campaign meeting will be March 24th, mandatory campaign meeting. And then due to a week for spring break, and we want to take into account Passover in late April, there'll be about a month for campaigning until the vote on April 26th to April 28th. That's a Tuesday to a Thursday. And any challenges could take place within that period.
Thank you.
Of course.
Any other questions or comments? Do you retract that? Amazing. Representative Wan.
Sorry, just a couple of small brief amendments to the rules, just like minor things. In Article 1, Section C, number 5, it states have never held or currently hold the role of chair of the Research and Accountability Committee, as that obviously does not exist anymore. I motion to like amend that to like hold the role of a member of the Office of Ethics.
I agree. However you.
Amazing.
There's another one as well. Section two of also section.
Sorry, can you speak into the microphone just so that we have it on record?
Section two of section C of like that same article. At the very bottom of it, it says, in addition to the early campaigning rules detailed in Article 1, Section C1, it should be amended to Article 1, Section D1, because that's where the early campaigning rules are mentioned.
Okay. So we're going to do those amendments together. Was that a motion?
Yeah, a motion to amend it to like that.
Okay, perfect. Can I... have all those in favor, please raise your placards. Oh, yes, thank you for the second. Okay, can I have all those opposed? Can I have all those abstaining? Did any voting member not vote? Oh, we have someone online. Nicole.
I raised my hands.
What?
I raised my hand. Did you see it?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. You raised your hand. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. In a vote of 20-0-1, those amendments pass. Representative Smith.
Yeah, I guess just a question for clarification on the challenge stuff, since that was the big point of discussion. And I can't remember exactly how it worked last year, but the elections committee also handled the challenges internally the last election.
Well, are you talking more about the appeals process or the challenges themselves?
Yeah, I guess both. So where did the challenges go, and then the appeals came back to the elections?
Yeah, challenges were first submitted to the director of elections, office of the assemblies, were held for a vote, or were... There was a challenge hearing, first of all, where both the person challenging could present their case and the person being challenged could present theirs. The elections committee would then deliberate, and by a two-thirds margin, they could vote to disqualify or not. And if the candidate were disqualified, he could first appeal the elections committee on procedural grounds, and then subsequently to the JCC. And does that answer your question?
Yeah, so the appeals in the last election cycle still went to the JCC. There is no JCC.
In spring 2021, right. They went to the JCC. In the last election cycle in fall 2021, there were no challenges.
No challenges. So I guess, again, not to take too much time, was just curious, of course, we'll see how it works out with the elections handling everything. Seems like it should be okay, but obviously, there is some kind of conflict of the same body that hands down a decision also handling the appeals. Don't know that we have a better solution. Seems like it should work out fine, and we'll see, but just a comment on that.
Yeah, I actually want to second Representative Smith's like sentiments. I feel like that was something that I was thinking about, and honestly, like up for debate and conversation, but I was thinking like originally when I saw this resolution, then it might be like worth maybe sending it to GPSA's exec or something to have like some sort of accountability. But I do also like the fact that like this situation puts it in the hands of undergrads, but I would like to like hear to some extent any of you guys' thoughts on this. We're not running again, so yeah, this is you guys' next election. If not, we can vote. Representative Eisman.
Yeah, I kind of had a similar kind of concern. I think that it would be beneficial to have a third party in some capacity, at least in this process, at least just, you know, for transparency purposes. I think it would be helpful for potential candidates to know that it's not just one committee. I think that would maybe cause if there were a challenge and that was kind of a claim by a candidate whose appeal was denied or something, that kind of, I could see that being as seen as more of a fault on the structure that was passed than the appeal itself, if that makes sense. So I think a little bit of more consideration for how that should work should be thought of.
Yeah, could I just quickly say something? Just to allay your concerns almost. For every challenge, the Director of Elections puts out a report following it, just outlining the Elections Committee's deliberations, their reasoning, and the vote count. You know, I think for, I guess in my opinion, really, you know, the Elections Committee really is a sort of third party, because, you know, out of the current 8 members, you know, the committee, only two are current members of this body. But yeah, I would be interested to hear what everybody else has to say.
Representative Wong.
I think if there's actually, like, if there are more concerns about, you know, having the Office of Elections, you know, I'm the Director of Elections, kind of talk about that, I think it might be useful to maybe have, like, a collaboration between the Office of Ethics with that, because, I mean, Office of Ethics, they might want to go hand in hand with that.
I feel like my only thought in this, like, just, I'm literally just thinking on the spot right now, is that the Office of the Ethics is a relatively, like, new body on our campus. I think it might be hard. They, like, haven't had a meeting yet. Like, they're just getting established. For them to be the oversight of elections, I feel like it's putting a lot of responsibility on them, like, very early on. Representative Williams.
Yeah, just to add a little comment, it's my understanding that the former Director of Elections did look into a lot of different options for a third party, but there really isn't a good one. Like, some of the law student clinics and stuff wouldn't really be able to handle this. It's a very undergrad specific process. And the Elections Committee has students who are not on the SA who know the rules very well. And I think that that report is very transparent. So I'm in favor of leaving this as is. I mean, if there are issues with it, it can always be changed in the future.
Representative Templeman.
Motion to vote.
Second, okay. Can I have all those in favor, please raise your placards. Okay, and a vote of 20-0-1, that passes, congratulations. Got it. We will now be seeing resolution number 43, although we can push Office of Ethics if we would like to. I'm not sure.
Both my nominations are here, so we can go in.
Okay. Would you like to go now?
Yeah.
Okay. So we need a motion.
Motion to introduce the members of the office, nomination for the Office of Ethics.
Second. Okay. I'm taking that as a unanimous consent. Do we have any dissent to that? Perfect. So we will start with nominations for the Office of Ethics.
What information? It appears Representative Katie is in the waiting room on Zoom. If you could be let in, that'd be great. Thanks.
Okay, so this is Glenna Lee, and this is my friend Meral, and I'll be nominating Glenna today, and then Meral is going to just say something in support of her. But yeah, they're both members of the ILR community, super involved, and I took a labor relations class with Glenna last semester, and she was super involved all the time and super passionate about human rights and labor justice. So yeah, I thought she'd be a great nomination. I just gave her the floor to introduce herself.
Okay. First, I would like to say thank you, Representative Kim, for nominating me. I really appreciate it, and I think this is a great opportunity. So I've always really been interested in ethics. Right now, I'm conducting research on international labor standards enforcement in factories in Myanmar. And what we do in the research is we make sure that companies and suppliers are upholding what they say in the contracts. And I feel like doing that right now demonstrates that I'm interested in ethics. I've also done legal research in the past on hate crimes within the past 2 decades and learning more about how the government holds hate crime perpetrators accountable has also really interested me in the past. So yeah.
Yeah, so I'm Maral. If you don't remember, I'm one of the members on the Office of Ethics nominated a couple weeks ago. And Glenna and I are both transfers, so she was one of the first people, that I met on campus. And I've taken multiple classes with her now. We're both in ILR. And just one of the most hardworking, most principled people that I know. And we've spoken, the few people who are on the Office of Ethics now, and we would really love to have her. So yeah, can't recommend her highly enough.
Thank you. I'll open it to questions and comments. I'll start with Representative Smith.
Yeah, this is the question that I asked of the last nomination that I wish I had been asking all along. I think in your case, you did a pretty good job of explaining your interest in ethics, but just to be clear, why Office of Ethics and not Student Assembly? And I guess the reason I ask that is, again, you're, for all intents and purposes, foregoing an opportunity to be elected to the Student Assembly. So just want to make sure you understand that and get your thoughts on that explicitly.
Yeah, so I guess I'm interested specifically in the Office of Ethics because I feel like we're going through a phase right now that's really novel, and I think it's a cool opportunity that in the Office of Ethics we can draft like a code of conduct, and I think this is an area, at least in Cornell, where democratic accountability can so easily be lost, and so I hope to be working in that space where I can work on holding representatives accountable. I'm not necessarily interested in like drafting resolutions themselves, but I think being part of this new group is a really cool opportunity.
Representative Williams.
Yeah, with that, I'd motion to table because that's the procedure.
Perfect. Second to that, can I have all those in favor? Raise your placards. Okay, and a vote of 21-0-1, that's tabled. Thank you.
I also have a second nomination. This is Carlene. Yeah, she's also an ILRE and just super involved in the community and is always the first to raise her hand in every single class to question the teacher. And yeah, I just think she'd be a great fit. So yeah.
Hi everyone. Thank you again for the nomination. My name is Carlene. I'm a sophomore in ILR. Yeah, I've always really been interested in human rights and things that involve, especially like uplifting people of color. And that's something that kind of drew my attention a lot on campus. Like I'm a part of the People's Organization Collective and the Black Student Union and just organizations that look towards seeing, I don't know, like the disparities on campus, because a lot of people of color outside of the Black community feel really marginalized and really isolated in a, you know, PWI campus. So it's been really nice to just like hear other people's opinions and seeing how they feel like represented by like SA members and administration on campus. That's why I was really interested in being a part of the ethics committee to work more in that.
Perfect. I'll open it to question and comment. Representative Smith.
Yeah, just in the interest, as I said, I want to make sure I'm asking this in explaining it for every single candidate. So again, as I just said, joining the Office of Ethics, you're more or less foregoing an opportunity to run for student assembly. So making sure you understand that, and you know, if you have additional thoughts on that or why specifically you aren't interested in running, you don't have to answer that part of it. But different way to frame it, just to keep it interesting.
I've never really been involved in SA. Like, most of the things that I know about, like, the student assembly is, like, you know, voting on people and hearing about elections. So I feel like this would be a good opportunity for me to just get, like, a feel for how, like, the Cornell Student Council just, like, things. And maybe, like, in the future, I'd be interested in running for a position. But I feel like now would be just, like, a good time to just understanding, like, the foundation on how things are, like, handled ethically with election processes and representing other people on campus. So yeah, just like a feel for everything.
Perfect. Thank you, Representative Katie.
I was hoping someone would notice I have my hand up on the screen. Sorry, I'm not in person. I've been meaning to ask this of everyone as well. Different question than Lucas, I promise. But I'd love to hear what you think a successful Office of the Ethics looks like. Just kind of in your own words, what you hope to get from it and what you hope you can help the campus with.
Yeah, I feel like a successful office would definitely be focused on accountability. I feel like a lot of things on campus, specifically what happened last year, you know, I won't go into too much.
I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you off, but can you speak directly into the microphone?
Yeah, no, my bad. No, it's all good. It's fine. No, I feel like accountability would be a strong thing to focus on, especially with what happened last year, which is one of the reasons that like piqued my interest in joining the Ethics Board, and how like a few members of SA were targeted and, you know, like were subject to a lot of discrimination without much accountability or recognition from, you know, administration or a lot of board members. So I feel like having a place where students feel that their opinions and their like concerns about how things are run are being heard, and they have a solid foundation towards a review process, towards a lot of like the policies being spread out, being held. Yeah, I feel like just like a strong sense of accountability.
Awesome answer, thank you.
Representative Williams.
Yeah, I was just gonna motion to table. Did you have a question? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry, I can retract it.
Okay, motion to table. Can I have all those in favor? Raise your placards. Okay, and a vote of 20-0-1, that's tabled. Thank you.
Thank you.
Point of inquiry?
Yes.
How many seats are still vacant on the Office of Ethics? Just curious.
I actually don't know. Does anyone have a running record? If not, I can come back next week and
okay.
Let you know.
We have 7 total. We've sat, I believe, 4.
And how, okay. And is that including the 2 that were just nominated?
So they've only been nominated.
Okay.
So no.
Okay. So next business of the day is resolution number 43, proposed charter amendments to the process of conducting referenda.
So I joined the resolution because Representative Mullen wasn't going to be able to be here for it. So resolution 42 is pretty straightforward. It basically edits the rules in order to hold a referendum because it had some outdated language. It allows the elections committee to be the one to run it. It aligns the periods of the referendum with the election. So you would go and vote, and there would be like the SA members you're voting for, and then a referendum question if it was eligible to be on the ballot. It's very just like procedural. I think it was well written. There you go.
Representative Langa.
Hey, no, so the changes make sense, but just point of clarification, it's resolution 42 on the top of the doc, on top of the doc itself, but on the agenda it's listed as resolution 43. Which one is it?
I think it's 42. I think the number with the U.S. China Friendship Day and this one were the same time, so we were getting confused on that. I think it's 42.
Okay, we can clarify. Okay, this is resolution 43.
Oh, okay. 43.
So I'd smile upon a friendly amendment to change that to 43. Representative Templeman.
Motion to amend to change the title to resolution 43.
Second.
Perfect. By unanimous consent. Perfect. Do we have any dissent to that? Okay, resolution 43. Representative Wan.
Just one clarifying question on section of like the edit, the lowercase section A statement period for the pro con statements, is all the pro con statements that are submitted going to be published or just one?
Can you give me a line number?
Oh, line 70 to 76.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure all the pro-con statements will be published. They'll at least be in like our agenda because we're going to discuss it. So yes.
Representative Smith.
Yeah, I guess I didn't see that. And then that section called my attention to that it's on the executive vice president that's, I guess, calling for them. You kind of led saying that this puts the referendum process in the hands of the elections committee more so. So kind of interesting me still that the executive vice president is involved. I guess that's more of a comment. I don't really care as much about that at the moment. I think this is a good resolution. But I do just have, I guess, some questions about the resolved clause. So looking at it as it's currently written, it does say to be implemented for the spring 2022 election cycle or the fall 2022. I think we should not have spring 2022 and we should just go for a fall 2022 implementation. And I guess my thought with that is I guess we're getting close per se. We're like a month out, a little over a month from election. So there's maybe some changes that would happen, but also logistically, since this is a charter change, right? It's a charter change, so it has to go to President Pollack, and she has to get it the stamp of approval before it technically can go into effect. So I'm, I guess, with the current response rate, doubtful that she'll get back to us. Why would she have, anything crazy to say on this? It would be anybody's guess, but who knows? So I guess, technically, it probably isn't feasible to get it done by or have this all, finished up for a spring 2022 rollout. Second point with the resolve is looking at it saying and be tested for two semesters. I'm a little bit gun shy of that, as I know it's come up before, but we're supposed to be careful of binding future assemblies to commitments if we don't have to. So I'm less supportive of seeing this clause saying it should be tested for two semesters if it wants to be tested for two semesters. I think going hand in hand with rolling this out in the fall, we would strike that clause and that could be up to next year's assembly to figure out. So those would be my suggestions that I'd like to see change, but I'd like to hear your thoughts, I guess.
Yeah, so just to comment on that, so the tested for two semesters thing was recently added, basically, since in this, it binds referendum to the election period and doesn't allow it during other times, which is based on the capacity of the offices of assemblies. Adding that in there was supposed to add some wiggle room in case we find that this system doesn't work well. So just like saying, we'll review it again in a year. But I understand the not wanting to bind it thing. I mean, you've been on the essay longer. As far as the election cycle, I feel like it is my understanding that the elections committee
would probably be able to hold, like add the question to the ballot, but if we have to wait for President Pollock, it probably wouldn't be feasible to hearing the rest of the assembly's thoughts.
Representative Grohmeyer.
My question would just be, and this, I guess, is open-ended. When was the last time we had a referendum?
A long time ago.
Like, I think, I don't know. Okay, so Representative Vega says spring 2019. Like, I don't know how, like, yeah, we can move the city, like, elections. Like, that's cool, but at the last time, it's like, when are we going to have another referendum? I don't know. I guess I'm just, like, skeptical to, like, if this has to go all the way to Martha's desk, like, how long is it going to, you know, be? And then, like, it isn't like we're going to have a referendum in the next 2 weeks, in my opinion.
So I would kind of caution against that. So part of the issue is that the way that it's currently laid out is, like, it's not really possible to have a referendum. Like, the current system is just very outdated. So I think we should update it to allow a referendum to happen, just in case one wants to. I mean, I'm sure there are some issues that students might want to bring up. Yeah.
Representative Katie.
Hi, Adele, I was just wondering if you can go a little bit more into why it's not feasible currently, as well as I remember, if my memory serves me correctly, last meeting it was brought up that a short-staffed, or a smaller staffed, pardon my terminology there, Gina, officer assemblies would be hindered with this. I'm wondering how that plays into this as well.
I mean, you might be able to add more. There's just a lot of, like, vote counting and stuff, like petition counting. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, it's, we, as you know, we do all of the campus elections, and we schedule them very strategically so that our office can support them fully. We're not nimble enough, not just because of size or capabilities, but just the capacity of making sure that we're supporting all of the meetings and committees and all of the other things to, at a moment's notice, be able to spin up a referendum. It's a fairly complicated process since it's open to all undergraduate students. The threshold for signatures is quite high. In order to validate those, it just takes a tremendous amount of time, and we would want to make sure that it's done absolutely, you know, with, so that there's no question as to the validity and everything is done absolutely perfectly. We can't assure that. I mean, we sort of go into election mode, which we're gearing up for right now. And we rely actually a lot on the elections committee to help with the validation, to help with making sure that everything is done. It's just not something that we, at this point in the structure of the Office of the Assemblies, can commit to supporting at this time. When I spoke with the director of elections, it was because, and I think to the question of when the last time it was, it's in your charter. It is an action of the assembly. So it should be available, should be useful. Try it and see if students really want, they have a whole lot more interest that falls outside of the time of the regular elections, then we can try and figure out a different way. But at this point, it's just not something that I can commit to being able to support. So this is sort of just, I think, to the point that was very well made, try it out for a year, see how much student interest there is. And in the meantime, we might have a different infrastructure that we could support it differently.
Appreciate that, Gina and Adele, thank you.
Representative Eisman.
Going off of Representative Smith, its points about kind of the ambiguity of the implementation timeline and the two semester kind of constraint flexibility thing, I'd like to put forward a motion to amend lines 105 to 107 to just say that these changes will be implemented for the fall 2022 election cycle. And I would also like to, since Representative Williams is now a co-sponsor, to add her signature as lines 111 and 112. You're good with that?
Okay, I'm gonna do the second one first as a friendly amendment, and we'll do that by unanimous consent. Can I have a second to that? Any dissent to that? Okay, perfect. So we have her as a co-signature at the bottom. And then you had an amendment to change the date to fall 2022. Okay, perfect. Do I have a second to that? Perfect. Can I have all those in favor? Please raise your placards. Can I have all those opposed? Can I have all those abstaining? Do we have anyone leave? Oh, perfect. Okay, and a vote of 19-0-1 that passes. Yes, okay, that amendment passes. So we're back on the floor. Representative Lampert.
Motion to vote.
Perfect. Second. Amazing. Can I have all those in favor? Please raise your placards. Okay, and a vote of 21-0-1 that also passes. Congratulations. Okay, and then I'd smile on a motion to adjourn. Representative Lampert?
Motion to adjourn by unanimous consent.
Perfect. Second. Any dissent? Amazing. Have a good rest of your evening, guys.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.